I cannot imagine going through COVID-19 in our business without digital. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine not being able to put those timely messages out there for our clients, but also for the community. It would drive me crazy to know that we were tied to static messaging during that time without a way to contribute.
Hello, and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner here with Matt Anderson. Today, we're joined by Ike Wingate of Wingate Media Group. He's going to tell us about his history of getting into billboards, advancing to digital billboards, how he's adapted during the current world climate, and more. And we're here today with Ike. Ike, how you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
All right. We are recording from the podcast bunker, and I'm down here with Matt Anderson. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Justin. Thank you.
All right. Ike, we want to talk to you today about Wingate Media Group. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the history of Wingate?
Sure. I grew up in Northwest Arkansas in a family that was a billboard family. Actually, I grew up working for my dad's billboard company, and that was really kind of the way you'd get to spend time with dad, is if you went to work. And so I got started at an early age, back when paper was a big part of the business, and I would have to, you know, walk around underneath the truck picking up paper from ads that were being changed out, and then eventually grew into a place where I was working with some clients, and you know, one time I wanted to, you know, get some new rims and tires on my truck, and my dad said, you know, I'm not going to buy those for you, but if you want to go try to, you know, get an advertiser to trade them out, you know, I'd be willing to do that. And so that was my first client, as far as advertisers go, was a wheel and tire store to, you know, equip my hoopty with some wheels and tires. Yeah. So that's where, that's kind of where the billboard story began for me. I went into a radio broadcasting career, really started in high school up and through college, worked for syndicated radio. And that's what moved me to the Nashville, Tennessee area from Arkansas, and then got married. And my wife's plan was to become an optometrist. And so my long-term plan was for her to be the sugar mama, and that I would then I would just be on the radio while she paid all the bills. But one day she came home and said, I think I'd like to stay home and start a family. And you know, after the initial shock, I then came up with the idea that, hey, you know, I know the billboard business. Why don't we build a few billboards to replace your income? And that, and that's where we'll, you know, we'll go from there to start a family. So as far as personally with our company, it got started out of the need for family. And then over the years evolved to be our main income source. And I've been at it as president of the company full time. For about 6.5 years now.
Okay. And I've only known to ask this question, Ike, because we were talking before the show today, but you had a moment in there, right, though, where you were doing radio and it kind of tied in with billboards as well?
Yes. It's interesting sometimes how, you know, one job that you're doing in life is equipping you uniquely for the next job that you have in life. And so that was the case when I worked as director of syndication and distribution for the Dave Ramsey Show, which is based here in the Nashville area. And because of my billboard experience, it helped out there because I was in charge of purchasing billboard ad space for several of his radio affiliate markets. And so it worked out really well, where not only did the radio experience come into play, but the fact that I understood the billboard business through working for my dad's company and then having my own company on the side, that I was able to purchase billboard ad space and help steer the marketing messaging on billboards for the Dave Ramsey Show.
I love that story. And I'm kind of curious, you know, hearing your, what I like to call origin story, that Justin likes to give me a hard time for calling him that, but origin story about, you know, you're talking about the Wingate coming about because of a need for family type things. So when you started to do it and you knew that you needed to get a couple billboards to help supplement the income, like what's the first thing that happens? Like, I guess I've never bought a billboard. So, you know, you need a couple billboards. Do you go out and look for ones to buy or put up new? Like, how does that start?
Well, there's certainly more than one way to tackle it. For us, money, capital available to do it, just it wasn't reality, mm-hmm. and so the option was going to be develop, sites organically. And so the first thing I did was, go to school from a standpoint of researching the law in the local cities and counties and the state, of course. And, I worked Sunday through Thursday. So I had Fridays off. And so Fridays were the days that I would go and devote to, figuring out a way to grow this business. And so, going to different city offices and things like that, and getting copies of the sign ordinance and those types of things is what I did early on. And of course, you've always got people who will probably give you a little bit of limited information, depending if you're asking the wrong person at the city, because you start saying the word billboards and people, start freaking out a little bit.
I don't have that file anymore. I can't give you that file.
yeah. That's in file 13, the trash can or whatever. So there was a lot of that. And, it was sort of this, our naivete kind of worked in our favor because we just asked a lot of questions and, I was just naturally curious about what it all was about. And, obviously working for my dad's company growing up, that was more, hey, this is dad's company and I have to do this if I want to make a little extra money. I never really was bought in from the standpoint of understanding what it took, the sacrifice and the intricacies involved from a legal standpoint. And so this was, even though I'd been, around the business, this side was very new to me. And so we, went and asked a lot of questions. And in fact, I was told by a city worker in one city that billboards were legal under a certain, different parameter. So I went and I spent probably 2 months getting locations that fit that, only to find out that guy was wrong.
Oh, no.
And it was a big waste of time as far as getting locations. But I did learn a lot. So it was just a lot of, trial and error and mistakes and asking a lot of questions. And then, just because some, person that's been working in the city for years tells you it's not possible, you can't take that as your first, answer. You got to keep digging a little bit more to make sure that you have it in writing and you don't just take their word for it.
Nice. So once you got that all figured out, how many billboards did you start with when you started things up?
Well, we started with one. We started with one and, we got a very, small location. And I was able to actually talk my dad at the time into bringing some scrap plywood from his house in Arkansas over and, kind of helping me build the first one, which was pretty cool because I built a lot of billboards for him. And so it was kind of neat. But it was a, small wooden sign, plywood, that kind of thing. And my other brother came to help. And so we all three built that first one. And it wasn't in the best location from a traffic standpoint. And so I literally had that billboard open for about 3 months and I started to second guess my decision on whether or not billboards were going to be as lucrative as I had imagined they were going to be. Mm-hmm. But we proceeded and said, we've got to give this a better shot than just one. And so we built our second billboard, or we were building it in a different town. And I was stopped while we were working on it by a business owner who said, "What are you doing?" And we told him what we were doing. And she ended up contracting both sides of that billboard for a year before it was even built.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so that was sort of the confirmation we needed that, okay, we are doing the right thing here. We just got to get them in the right location so people actually want them.
Yeah, that was almost going to tie into my question there. I think you maybe have answered it with that second example. Your second billboard was, you started making the billboard. Do you make it? And then I know sometimes I'll see like ad spots for sale. Do you put it up and then try to find someone to advertise on it, or advertise first and then put it up?
Well, the best case scenario is always pre-sale, for us. And there's a couple factors in that. Obviously, the main factor, the easiest factor to pinpoint is that you're generating revenue on day one. You never want to build something and have it sitting there for months without any, return coming in. So that's the easiest opportunity there. But the second reason is you have a little bit of the FOMO effect, the fear of missing out. When you're telling businesses, hey, we're building a billboard here, it's going to be a great location, you know, I'm letting you know about it as one of the first people we're telling, you know, and that gives them, you know, especially as a business owner or decision maker, they're used to going, you know what, I want to seize on an opportunity to give me an edge on my, you know, competition. And so it creates a little bit of that urgency in their mind. And then we usually offer some sort of pre-sale pricing to incentivize them. And, you know, because you got to look at the math. Would you rather have it at full price sitting empty for 2 or 3 months, you know, by the time you fill it? Or would you rather discount it 15% and have it full on day one? Mm-hmm. And that has worked well for us.
Nice, nice. So from that first plywood billboard, how many do you have now? And can you tell us what types of technologies are they? Are they all still plywood or have you gone digital?
We are no longer in the plywood business, thankfully. We are actually phasing most of the rest of our wooden signs out over the next few months. And currently we have 60 static faces. We have, and most of those being, you know, steel. We do have a good amount of 8 sheets or junior poster signs. That's kind of how we, you know, built the foundation of our business and cut our teeth in some of these smaller markets. And they've done really well for our clients and they've been, you know, really good money makers for us. But then of course, we also have the larger bulletins out on the interstate. We've got 5 outdoor digital billboards, and then we have 40 indoor digital locations, you know, basically, you know, like a TV screen in high traffic locations like restaurants, nail salons, gyms, that kind of thing. And we serve 5 counties roughly in southern Middle Tennessee. It's not Central Tennessee. It's Middle Tennessee is what it's called around here for some odd reason. So okay. That's the size of the company. And you know, we're going to be rounding the corner on our 12th year in business next year.
I like how we said, I think Justin started it with technology and plywood, but I'm so thinking back to that first billboard, you know, where you talked about making it out of plywood all the way up to what you just explained you have now. Can you maybe talk about maybe the first time that you went to a digital display and then why did you and how has it been working for you?
Great question. Yeah. So, you know, one of the things I had to, and my wife had to, you know, as we're both owners of the business, kind of had to, you know, a place we had to come to in our mind is, are we ready to make that leap? You know, obviously it's a larger financial investment, but from the background that I have growing up around, you know, literally, I think 100% wooden signs that were all, you know, 5x11, you know, smaller signs, no steel, no digital, that concept was completely new to me, even with the experience inside the billboard industry growing up. And so I just remember even when we built our first interstate board, where we had another crew come in and contract and build it was a big deal for us. But then, of course, when we went to the digital side, you know, coming from radio, you know, the technology and that kind of thing is pretty, you know, is evolved. And so that interests me, and digital was a way to make billboards more current, more relevant, and just from a pure enjoyment standpoint of being involved in the industry, I saw digital as that opportunity for dynamic content and community involvement. And so as we go to, say, the Independent Billboard Operators Conference and things like that, a lot of the material, a lot of the subject matter is geared toward digital because that's where it's, you know, has been evolving to over the last several years. So you hear that continually, and you know, if you're not moving in that direction, it's very easy to feel like you know you're falling behind. And so that's what got it on our radar. And then once we learned of the opportunities that the technology afforded us, you know, as far as dynamic messaging, you know, changing things out, giving clients the opportunity for multiple ad designs. You know, we just kind of fell in love with it. We had to do it. And I just remember, you know, putting up our first digital and being able to see the camera, you know, in my living room. It just, you know, now it seems like, oh yeah, that's really old technology. But at the time, it felt like we were really on the cutting edge. And, you know, you think about like showing my dad a picture of that. It blew his mind as someone who, you know, had been around the industry a long time. So it felt good to, you know, progress forward into that realm. Of course, you know, it was a lot of learning that went involved, that was involved in it after the fact. Mm-hmm. Happy to talk more about that. But it definitely, you know, was an opportunity for growth, both with our company, but also personally learning what it all would entail from the standpoint of sort of a new medium inside an old medium.
And I'm thinking about at the beginning here of our discussion of you saying, you know, what you remember growing up is, you know, picking up pieces around when you're helping your dad out. And just even, you know, now when you want to change content out, you're not climbing up there, swapping out things. You're just, you know, you're working with the control software and you're swapping out images. Maybe talk a little bit about how that's changed, right? Because now I got to imagine you can swap out and have many different advertisers where maybe you'd only be able to have one per face.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there is a lot more revenue potential. But when you're able to, you know, basically work anywhere in the world and still be able to, you know, service your clients and offer them the opportunity to change out their ads. And then, you know, the other standpoint is, you know, being able to day part and schedule their ads and just be so much more relevant to the audience with timely messaging. I mean, that gets me excited because it is a way to super serve our clients. But also, you know, the way I look at billboards, but specifically digital billboards, is it is a community landmark if we're doing it correctly. And so not only are we able to serve our clients well, but we can create valuable content for the community. Mm-hmm. And that is a little bit where the radio side in my background comes into play, because the FCC requires radio stations to do a minimal amount of public affairs programming. So when you hear your favorite local DJ talking about the chili cook-off happening next weekend, that's not really because they are, you know, really excited about the chili cook-off. It's because they have to by law. So, you know, billboards obviously are not required to do that by law, but what radio does really well is it serves the local community with you know, very specific content. Even though it's required, it's still valuable. And so I look at that and I go, we need to be doing the same thing. I never want the government to require me to do it, of course, but I still think we need to sort of police ourselves as an industry and say, you know, this isn't just about, you know, how can I, you know, generate revenue? It should also be about how can I deliver value back to our clients and the community and, you know, elevate the perception of the outdoor advertising industry.
Right, right. That's a really good point there, too. And I kind of want to go back a little bit. You did say you have an indoor network of billboards as well. Can you explain that a little bit?
We started our indoor digital network, or indoor, you know, digital billboard network, about 4 years ago. We looked at our, you know, geographic footprint and recognized certain gaps, and those were primarily due to extremely strict billboard regulation. And we decided to launch this indoor digital network because we had needs, you know, clients had needs in those areas that we weren't able to fulfill from an outdoor billboard side. And so we researched the different options out there, and there's bathroom ads and things like that. There's nothing wrong with that, but we just didn't want to be in the bathroom ad business for us personally.
I was wondering how you're going to say that. Yeah.
It's kind of a crappy business. I'm just kidding. No, sorry. No, there's nothing wrong with it. Bill, you know, bathroom ads are very effective. It just wasn't something that we wanted to do. And I'll tell you, one of the big reasons is because I didn't want myself or my team to have to go change out ads in bathrooms every single month. It had to be digital. No matter what we did, it had to be digital. And so there were other people in the space, even in our area, doing, you know, these indoor digital ads. But you would look at the screen and you would just see like people's business cards on there. It was pathetic. And it's you know, I looked at it and went, you know, why would anyone pay attention to this? Because it's just like a box with rotating spam over and over and over while you're trying to eat your pizza. And so, again, kind of took a page out of the radio world and said, OK, let's provide some local content on here. And I guess you could say it's more the broadcast TV world, because we knew if we put something on these, you know, screens that was valuable to the audience, they would pay attention to the ads in between. Not a new concept, been happening for a long time, but we just decided to go very specific on the content as far as hyper local. So it's going to have, you know, different events in the community that are going on. You know, we're not charging for that. We're putting those on for free. We're putting local high school sports scores on the screen. We're putting things on there that they wouldn't necessarily get from the Metro Nashville, you know, broadcast TV station. It's something very specific to that neighborhood, that community. Right. And then we put ads in between. And of course, we, you know, obviously brought in feeds for, you know, other national sports feeds or celebrity, you know, news, that kind of stuff. Just things that people could see while they were eating, while they were at the gym, while they were, you know, getting their nails done or at a doctor's office, anywhere where they spent 15 minutes to an hour, we wanted to be able to provide a little extra value from a content standpoint and then deliver those eyeballs and impressions back to our advertisers.
That's awesome. And I'm catching, like, you know, the two of the main areas you've been talking about, Ike, about how you use these displays is the revenue generation and, of course, the community involvement, like you were talking about earlier. So I'm just kind of thinking, you know, in our current climate right now with COVID over the past, 7 months or so, kind of how has that changed your business from both how do you use displays for community involvement and then kind of that the revenue side? Who's still coming to you looking to do advertisements?
Yeah, this year, obviously, for everybody's been, you know, it's a time of innovation, rethinking things, regrouping, assessment, and all of the above. Mm-hmm. And one of the very specific areas that got hit hard for our business when COVID hit and the shutdowns were required as a state mandate here in Tennessee was our indoor network. Because you could go down a list of every type of company that the governor said had to shut down, and it was as if he was looking at our list of indoor locations, gyms, restaurants, salons, doctor's offices. And, you know, so that was, you know, devastating from the standpoint of going, we can't deliver any of what we're promising to our advertisers right now. But secondarily, and maybe more importantly, that means our advertisers aren't getting seen either. And so what we had to do, and I think this is a little bit beyond what you're asking, but I'll just tell you, what we ended up having to do is we had to just stop charging. As soon as we found out about the government mandate, we proactively reached out to all of our clients and said, we're not going to charge you. And if you'll stick with us, any time that you've, you know, already paid for, we're going to make up to you extra. And, you know, if you'll stick with us, we promise to deliver more value back than you're paying for. And everybody, 100% of those clients stuck with us.
Wow, nice.
And I will tell you, our relationships with those clients are better today than they were, you know, prior to COVID. So, you know, good things have come out of it for sure. But it was a scary time knowing that that side of our business was completely shut down. Mm-hmm. In the middle of it, though, what we decided to do is we decided to do a couple things, and I'll get to the outdoor side, but on the indoor side, we decided to help promote business in any way we could. So our team developed graphics and different things like that for the different municipalities, you know, for when things did open back up. We provided free graphics. We even, for any business that needed some social media graphics during that time, we made them for free because, you know, our whole deal was we've got to help lift business overall, whether there are paying clients or not. And then another thing that we did to our credit or to our detriment is we launched a fun video segment show called Good Business News. And I know people saw John Krasinski.
I was just thinking of that. Yep.
Yeah. He has some good news that I thought was really cool. And so we thought, okay, we've got indoor clients that are not getting, impressions right now. And then, we need good news right now because everything sucks as far as everything we're hearing and seeing. So what could we do for our clients as part of that? And so that's where we launched Good Business News. You can see segments if you'd like at goodbusiness.news. That's www.goodbusiness.news. There's segments there. It's sort of Saturday Night Live meets business news. I'm sure I'll probably regret dressing up as some of the people I've dressed up as on that show. You'll just have to go and see it to understand what it's about. But all that to say is we were willing to look at anything and everything we could do to help promote business and sort of spread good news out there during that time. And, we were able to promote businesses and things that were going on at the time. And then we've kept doing it. Since then, we've even gotten sponsorships for the show, and we'll just see where it goes. But that was one thing we kind of had to do to think outside of the box to promote clients and spread good news. And then on the outdoor side, we had to get heavily involved in making sure that our clients were putting timely messaging out there, and so adjusting, open times or closed times or, promoting gift certificates and things like that. And then we also went to work on, promoting things like our essential workers and saying thank you to the police and first responders and nurses and continuing to put positive messaging out there like that. And then also promoting doing things like buying gift cards and getting takeout and just trying to overall lift the tide, rise the tide for all the boats in the business industry in our area. And I cannot imagine going through COVID-19 in our business without digital. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine not being able to put those timely messages out there for our clients, but also for the community. And again, promoting, pushing people to support local business. I feel as though, we have a duty to do that kind of thing. We've got to look at ourselves as part of the community and a communication tool in the community. And I can't imagine not having the medium of digital inside what we've just gone through. It would drive me crazy to know that we were tied to static messaging during that time without a way to contribute.
They've been pretty busy to try and go on through and update everything that way.
If you're even allowed in there to update, there's other regulations too. That would have been a mess.
So is this show still going on? Did you say?
Yeah. So it's a periodic show. Usually it's, we put an episode out about once a month, sometimes more often, sometimes less. And yeah, it's still going on. It's not going to win any awards or anything like that.
That you know of.
It is that we know of. But I'm sure it'll come back to haunt me one day when I'm running for political office. But, that's neither here nor there. but it has been fun, and it's been appreciated, I think, by our local community.
You didn't have Brad Pitt come in and tell you the weather like you did on the Some Good News? You have celebrities coming in?
I did try to get John Krasinski to at least make a cameo, but he did not respond to me on Twitter.
Oh, man. Shoot. That would have been awesome. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so through all of this, you went through a lot of good information there about how you've adjusted and everything, and you are looking at different ways to help your current clients and advertisers and help bring them through this and change your messaging to support communities, and a lot of good information there. I'm curious, how do things change during this current climate with an election coming up?
So we weathered, the COVID stuff, but I will say, business bounced back better than pre-COVID levels, say like in May, June, especially June. Mm-hmm. They bounced back pretty hard, which we were thankful for. Part of that was certainly political ads coming in. And so we've, got some Senate races, or Senate race here, in Tennessee. and of course several local elections. So, you know, political has definitely come through for us this year, maybe more than ever. We've even had some, you know, national political races advertising with us. But more so, I would say we have seen a really good increase for real estate agents, mortgage, the mortgage business. And then some of these medical procedures, these like elective type procedures being advertised. We've definitely increased in the area of say, orthodontics and dental type things. So those are areas that are really strong for us right now.
That's awesome. And we always ask you, you know, like, what are some of the favorite parts of your business you've been a part of? And with you being in billboards, I'm kind of curious, do you have a favorite ad that has stuck out to you? Maybe some creative or goofy that you've ever had on one of your billboards?
That's a good question. We've had, you know, multiple ads over the years. I'm trying to think of anything. I'll tell you one that, you know, we did as a self promo, and that was, we had a large bulletin inside the middle of Metro Nashville, and you know, our goal is to make sure people know we're a family company, and that's one of our differentiators. You know, we're a local company. We're not necessarily this big, you know, conglomerate. And so we have to, you know, obviously pick our advantages where we can. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things we did to make ourselves appear more, you know, as people is I put a picture of my kids on one of our billboards and said, rent this billboard so we can eat. And it was signed by the Wingate kids. It said, rent our daddy's billboard so we can eat, signed by the Wingate kids. Yeah. And so, you know, it got some mixed reviews. But some people in the industry thought it was, they didn't like it. They thought we were showcasing the wrong advantages for outdoor, but then several other local mom and pop outdoor companies loved it. And I got multiple emails from people saying, you need to feed your kids.
Right. So, I'm not buying a spot, but please feed them.
Yeah, I will say this. It was one of those things where when I met people, you know, in the community and places and told them what I did, they said, you're not that guy with those starving kids on a billboard, are you?
Oh, man.
And so at least they knew who I was, you know, right. no buzz is bad buzz.
Right. And that's from an advertising standpoint, you got noticed. And that's the point of the ad, right? Is to get noticed. And you definitely got noticed there.
100%. Exactly right.
Oh man, that's a great story. But you've come on here and you've shared a lot of good information, and hearing your story is fantastic, from one plywood billboard to working your way up to an entire network of indoor and outdoor and digital. But thank you for coming on and sharing your story with us today.
Absolutely. Happy to talk about it and enjoyed the time, and certainly appreciate all that Daktronix has done and is doing to help the industry, especially from a sales standpoint and the support there, and certainly advancing the technology. So we appreciate your product as well, and happy to talk to you guys today.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Ike.
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Daktronix Experience Podcast. Please subscribe at your favorite place to listen to podcasts to keep up with our latest episodes.